I'm Bob. I like coffee. I also like to tell stories. So here at the Bobcast Coffee, it's time for a coffee break. So take a coffee break with me and pour yourself a cup of your favorite Joe. By the time you're done with your coffee, you'll know something about me you really didn't need to know. But you'll have fun learning it. Just remember, my stories are true. For the most part. This episode is brought to you by JM Insurance. JM Insurance, that's where the insurance mamas will get you covered. Whether you need personal, business, life, disability, they have what you need. You can call them at 405-353-0140 and get a free quote. That's 405-353-0140. You can find them at 255 South Castle Rock Lane in beautiful Mustang, Oklahoma. So for all your insurance needs, contact the wonderful people at JM Insurance. If you need to, go online at www.jminsurance.agency or send them an email at quotes@jminsurance.agency. Just a quick warning, this is going to be a long Bobcast. So get set for about 43 minutes worth of my family. So enjoy my 60th birthday. Today, I am enjoying my coffee once again from my Papa mug for a very special reason. We are doing episode, I believe this is going to be 45. And I wish this was my 45th birthday, but it's not. It's my 60th birthday. So here it is, my Papa mug with my coffee. Which coffee are we drinking today?
Sam's Club.
Sam's Club. It's just Sam's Club coffee. It's good coffee. But like I said, always drink coffee. I don't care personally what you drink as long as it's not Folgers. And I did not say that out loud. But just drink your coffee.
Give this man some Toll House.
There you go. All right. So the rules of today's podcast, since we've got the family sitting here today, is to say something. Oh, this is going to get painful. I know it's going to get painful. Say something about the Papa Bob that you find interesting, humorous, touching. I doubt there'll be very many of those.
Embarrassing.
I got a feeling there's going to be several of those. But if you've got something to say, I am now your open tablet.
I'll just get the obvious one out of the way. We like the insurance money.
The insurance money.
We don't get it yet.
I am worth more dead than alive.
Thank you. We only have 3 more years.
Aren't most of us worth more dead than alive at this point?
Pretty much. Except if you sell the parts. On the black market, your parts are worth more than most life insurance.
Okay. We just got very worried. Let's shift our gears.
All right. Okay. So, would anybody like to start off and give your impression, story, thought, painful moment that experienced with Bob?
We could go oldest to youngest.
You should.
You know where that leads. We're going to start oldest to youngest.
I have a story.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
And it's an event that shapes your life, probably your personality. And it was, you were about one or 1.5 years old. We just moved to Oklahoma City from Texas. And we had some friends over to play cards. Well, we put you in one room and Rick in another room, and Rick went to sleep, and you screamed and you screamed and you screamed. You wanted to come out. We wouldn't allow that, and we decided that we were going to let you scream until you went to sleep. And you did. And after a while, you went to sleep. We had our cards, and so the company left, and I went in to check on you, and I couldn't open the door. I tried. I couldn't figure out what you had blocked the door with. Remember, you're only 1 1/2. But you had got out of your crib, crawl over and lay down next to the door so you could see underneath the door. You could see the light, and you were laying there, and you went to sleep. Now, we had two choices. I couldn't push you because it would hurt you. I didn't want to wake you up. So I go outside and cut the window screen out, crawl over the window, and crawl into the bedroom, pick you up, put you in the crib, and life went on. Nobody ever knew anything different, or you never knew anything different. But I think your hard-headedness was all preordained by that one event. Mm.
You still sleep on the floor sometimes.
I do sleep on the floor sometimes.
Very good. That means I'm second. Surely to goodness I'm not.
I love you.
Oh, well, all I can say is happy birthday, my darling baby. You are my baby.
My mama.
And just, I don't know, just have a happy life.
We're going to try. You know, something that we didn't do.
I forgot that one thing I wanted. I talked to my brother in Florida last night. And he asked us what we were going to be doing today, and I said, well, we're going to Bob's 60th birthday. And he said, oh, my God. I said, you know how old that must make me.
So, one thing we didn't do. Papa Reynolds, this is the patriarch of the family, and the queen of the family, my mama. So, if you start something, at least start off with who you are. All right? So who's next?
You.
I am.
You are the next oldest.
I am the next oldest. Holy Toledo.
What do you like about Bob?
I am a survivor. I cannot believe going through and doing the Bobcasts. I cannot believe the really, really dumb things I have done in my life and have lived through it. So it is proof that God's got a purpose, at least for me, because I haven't been taken yet and I've given every opportunity for that to happen. So if you would like to know more, see my extended works out on the internet.
See the first 44 chapters.
The first 44. That would lead us to my loving, blushing bride.
What do I like about Bob? I like a lot of things about Bob. But mostly that he was willing to take on a motley crew.
That's true.
He may regret it at times, but he was willing to take him on. But he makes me laugh. And he shows me joy.
I make you roll your eyes.
And you make me roll my eyes. And say, oh, Bob.
Usually, like, right before I get hurt and do something really dumb, I hear this voice in the back of my head saying,
oh, Bob. And then, but this whole birthday thing, this whole unofficial International Bob Day thing, we had a conversation yesterday about it. He always wants to make 4 billion cookies. Absolutely. To give away. He wants 3,000 people to give away cookies in honor of Bob, and he wants to make his own 4 billion cookies. And last year, I put my foot down and said, we have got to limit this because we're wearing ourselves out with all of these cookies. So we had the conversation yesterday about how limiting we're going to be about this Bob Day thing. It's a struggle for him.
The whole concept of Bob Day was not to get cookies, but to give cookies. So give your, you know, give the cookies away. And I don't think I ever got that to catch on that well.
Hey, everyone loved the cookies I took to this week. Hey,
you did. How many dozen?
Three.
Three dozen.
I still got about a dozen left. I'm going to take them to church tomorrow.
Nice.
There you go.
You know where we're going.
Next is Tommy.
It's me.
Oh, Steffi, that's right.
Ooh, Steffi.
Actually, when you were saying that, it was already a very short story, but it was one of my first impressions of Papa. Actually, before Tommy and I officially started dating, I had come to someone's birthday party at the house back in Azusa. I don't remember whose birthday.
Tim thinks it was
your birthday.
That's the first time I remember meeting you.
Yeah. I think maybe I was kind of considering. Anyways, there were supposed to be other people, but I ended up being there. But I remember it was the end of the birthday, and I think it was at this birthday. But your family is very into In-N-Out, and I wasn't really on board with that. And I remember at the end of the party, it came up about In-N-Out. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't really like In-N-Out. And I was standing right behind you or something, and all of a sudden you just, like, you turn around and you look at me, and I knew I was in trouble in that moment. I better, you know, I think after that I got with the program, and you know, I loved In-N-Out, but I do remember that moment of, like, I just totally disappointed. Was your face. I'll never forget it. You just turned around with that look of like, what is wrong with you?
I have grown and matured, and I do believe personally that the best hamburger out there is the one in my hand. You know, there's nothing wrong with a Brahms burger or a, what's the big one out here?
Everybody else loves Whataburger.
Whataburger. But Whataburger is not a bad burger.
Little.
I mean, but if they're in your hand, it's the best burger.
Unless it's McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't count as a burger.
So, Tommy.
Wait, I'm not done.
Oh.
It's still me.
Yay, Stephanie. Oh, by Stephanie. The way, this is Stephanie, the daughter-in-law.
What was that going? Something I love about Papa is that ever since I came into this family, I can always count on you to make me laugh and to feel comfortable and like all the crazy people that I've been to. But no matter what family situation, I just like kicking back and hearing your commentary on it because it makes me laugh and it's truth. So thank you. I love it. Love you.
Now it's funny.
You've been given the blessing.
Yeah.
Tommy Lister.
Two stories came to mind right out of the gate. The first one was my birthday, where you decided to. We had chili. We had chili stew for lunch and cornbread, and then y'all decided that it was time for the birthday Spanx. And I was strong enough to resist, but not strong enough to overpower my future stepdad, who folded me in half like a pretzel and after two full bowls of chili. And then the result of projectile flame vomit, out of my face and all over you and all over your house and all over everything.
And Shan in the background trying to figure out how to spank you with, and it was just, I said, Shan, give me a towel, and he's just standing there staring off into space.
I'm in shock because I don't know what just happened. And your response to that, I mean, if somebody threw up all over my house, I think I'd be a little less gracious, but you just were laughing hysterically.
You're covered in my vomit, and you are laughing hysterically.
Understand that I have grown up, and here we go. Bob starts it off with the Blivet mentality, which is 2 pounds of bodily waste in a 1 pound bag. That's life. Yeah. And if you put too much pressure on your blivet of life, it's going to blow up in your face.
Yeah.
And I know this. And I did it to myself. Yeah. You didn't do this. I squeezed that sucker out of you. Yeah. I owned it. It was all mine.
It was pretty rough. It's a weird memory because it was painful and ridiculous. But also seeing you coated in the vomit was a little bit of justice. there's a little bit of all around. It was a strange day. So that was the first story. The second story, it was a harder memory. But one that I share very often because it helped to shape my faith and it helped to shape my theology. My mom and I were fighting about something, and it was a very rough afternoon. And I had a poor friend that was there that day, and he just got to sit there witness to that. So that was a strange day. And you sat there as my stepdad and kind of listened for a while and gave me respect enough. I think I was in college or something, and I was yelling, and everyone was yelling and fighting back and forth. And eventually you looked and said, okay, that's enough. You're done. You're done yelling at your mom. And I said the most bogus, ridiculous statement out of my mouth that I've ever said to you. I said something stupid like, well, you're just saying that, or you're just defending whatever because you're my stepdad and you don't love me like you love Josh. And I've always been taller than you.
No. You were this much shorter at the wedding.
I had at least one day.
But I said something bogus like, you love Josh more than you love us, or something like that. And I knew, even as I was saying it, that I was saying something stupid. But I was in the heat of anger and frustration, and my sin was taking over. And you squared up to me, in only the way that you can, and you looked me in the eyes, and you said you loved your son Josh, my brother, and that he was one of the greatest things that's ever happened to your life, and that he's your flesh and blood. But then you said something that changed my life forever, and you said that you didn't pick Josh to be your son, but you did pick me and Timmy and Bobby, and that you didn't pick him, that you loved him, but you picked us. And that you chose us to be your sons. And that forever changed my theology on what it means to be adopted into the family of God. And what it means to be adopted as sons. And, I mean, I knew I was stupid before that, but I was real stupid in that. And I have shared that story many times when I'm teaching and preaching because it forever changed my life. I was picked. And I have a lot of baggage around the word dad for a lot of reasons. But for as long as you've been, you never gave me grief when I called you Bob.
I'm a Bob. I have
you never gave me grief when I wasn't ready. But you always stood there ready. And so the term Papa, when I finally grew up enough to realize what you meant to me, you are Papa. And so even in the tactful decision to be Papa and not Dad, that was a decision I know you made to help me with that. So, thank you for helping me understand who God is by loving me the way that He does. beat that.
But what I was going to say first was Tommy Dunn.
All right, wait,
anyone else?
Who is the next one? Is it?
So we're done now, right?
We're not done yet.
Oh.
Who's the next one in line? Is it? It is me.
I'm next. Tommy's not shouldn't be allowed to speak before anyone else. Cause...
Oh, I forgot that rule. I am sorry.
But we already know he doesn't get to speak after the videos, so you know.
I can edit him to the.
Oh, sorry. The video corrupted for that entire.
He's over there cutting onions for the whole crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. You taught me to drive stick, even left-handed and in the middle. Just because we're all...
You need to explain that story.
Me, Tommy, Bob, crammed into Tiny S10 every morning at 5:30 a.m. To go drive to school. 12 miles, taking 3 hours.
That was a long drive.
Yeah. Tommy had to drive stick while, because I had to shift, so he did. Because my legs were in the way. So, and the story that always comes to mind when I think about Bob is probably the maddest he's ever been at me and my mom. Because he opened the closet door and the vacuum assaulted him.
Was that you?
That's number three. That's episode number three. Yeah. I tell people not to listen to that while they're driving because they will laugh too hard.
And me and my mom are in the kitchen and we just hear him drop and laughing at him. He got so mad at
him. You still get mad at him.
I'm really enjoying hearing the other side of the story, but yeah, I'm still getting mad.
He's still getting mad about it.
No idea who booby trapped the.
Alright, was it you?
It was him.
I think it was Bob.
I think he put it away that way.
But from then on, we made sure to turn the handle inward and put it away.
Oh. I was so mad. Because I was laying there and I could see you all. And you were all laughing and I couldn't get up and no one was coming over to help me.
It was just so dramatic.
You have to laugh before you help someone after a nut shot.
Ladies and gentlemen, right here, this woman, she is the beneficiary to my life insurance policy.
But if she does laugh, then they get it all. They get yours, they get mine, they get it all.
Episode 3. Episode you gotta go to episode 3 to understand
yeah,
that one.
Listen to it.
Oh, brutal. All right, next up.
Are you done? Is that your favorite story? Next up would be Jordy.
Oh, yeah, we didn't say Tim. It's Jordy's turn.
I don't know if I have, like, any specific story because there's so much. But one of the things that I think I really find intriguing and I appreciate about you is if you ask Papa to help you with something, he's going to come up with the most complicated possible way to get it done.
Preach it. Preach it, woman.
And the whole time, you're going to be like, but why? And for how? But what I appreciate...
You need a shoebox, not a shoe store.
But what I appreciate about it, though, is like how creative you can be with some of your ideas. And seeing you get excited about projects... Even if we have to rein you in occasionally. But it does keep it fun and interesting. And you come up with some, like, the most, you know, I think creative and unique ways of getting around problems that others maybe wouldn't.
Well, being inherently cheap makes you want to, you know, be creative.
Having your creative solutions get expensive, though.
Guilty. All right, who's up?
Your grandson is
lost.
Ethan just pulled his tooth out.
Ladies and gentlemen, how fun is that?
It's on camera too.
We have a nice good view of it. We didn't even get to do a fun wheel like Nerf gun or anything.
We didn't. You're supposed to warn us before you do that.
Go give it to Mama so she can put it in the bag. So
for 20 years, I tried to be an actor, and they always told me never ever act with animals or children because they always upstage you. All right.
And speaking of children, Bobby.
Bobby!
I think I have two. One of them is less of a story and more of just a observation. Since having moved here and doing fairly regular lunches with Grandma and Grandpa for the first 8 years that we were back, with you and Uncle Rick, we got to hear the stories of your childhood. Most of them Grandma and Grandpa didn't know. And so to see their reactions of these stories were just as funny, if not funnier, than the stories. And the shame coming out of Grandma for the things that you guys have done was pretty funny. And just the sheer disbelief. And then the other one that I would probably, as far as stories go, is the camping trip when I was leading the hike, and then a rock had taken out the path, some sort of landslide, and the hike that we were on the side of a mountain, and a rock came down and took out a good four or five feet of the path.
Wait, we have to put a caveat here. This happened weeks before we went up the trail. I did not send Bobby out in front of an avalanche.
Yeah.
All right. Just so to let you know.
Important detail.
Yeah.
Well, and he was told you can't get lost.
Right. So
I'm
14, 15 years old, leading this trail of scouts down the side of this mountain on a single file pathway. And we get to the point where there is no more trail. It is gone. And we cannot step over it. And so I have to tell everyone, hey, tell the parents at the back of the line, the path is gone. And so we telephone game all the way down. And they say, the trail's gone. And then it comes back and they're like, what? Do it again? The trail is gone. And finally, when they start actually believing me, you see Bob picking up kids and moving them so that he can work his way to the front of the trail and then to get to me and realize that the trail is in fact gone.
Now,
and so we hike backwards all the way to the point in which we can figure out an alternative route, and it takes us down the mountain and then through this ravine or whatever, solely to realize that the trail was eventually going to lead us down there anyway. And so the first half of the hike was completely pointless. We had just done extra work for no reason.
Now, understand, Bobby, I know what you were doing, and I know what you were saying now, but the trail, here's Bobby, the trail went like this around the side of the mountain. It's not a straight line. We can't see anything. And when the message gets back to the adults, we're all back there just like, you know, what's going on? And they go, Bobby lost the trail. And I'm looking at Scoutmaster Dorning, and I'm like, you said we can't lose the trail. And he's like, you can't lose the trail. We need to know. And we send it back up. What are you talking about? And then it comes back, Bobby lost the trail. And we got up there, and yes, Bobby lost the trail. It was gone.
But I like how you describe you just move one scout at a time, and he describes it with sending them out over the ravine of losing them because it was literally one.
That's
pompous
creativity that Jordy was talking about. Yeah. Substantially more exaggerated as the years have gone.
It was
each scout off the trail.
Each scout went.
You don't need to be
past.
Up here.
Yeah. You're in the way. Yeah.
Oh, my heart. That hurts. And that is episode, that's the fourth installment of Kids and Scouting.
Kids and Scouting is
third installment.
The third installment, yeah.
Third.
It's like the seventh story.
You went in order, didn't you? Oldest
Yeah. So it's the third installment, seventh in the series.
Yeah. So that takes us to Kiana.
Kiana! One of the newest in our group.
Yeah.
And unfortunately has known me for a while.
I actually was thinking about it. And I think when it comes to people I still interact with, you're my longest friend in Oklahoma.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm a survivor.
Oh, you're really hard to get rid of.
This raises more questions of why you agreed to date me.
Damn.
Oh, great. Bad idea. Where's the marker? The lid.
What comes to my mind, though, is last year when you helped me out with my day camp.
Oh, yeah.
So, I was running day camp last year for the first time, and no one gave me any solid direction. So, the day before my day camp starts, he helps me out by driving out to pick up my archery targets. We find out when we get there that there aren't enough stands for the archery targets. I'm using three targets of the 4 foot wide round outdoor targets, and there's only one stand. I have about 2 hours until my location closes because the targets have to go inside the building instead of outside where they're going to be set up during the week.
So
we bring it all back to the house, and over the next hour, mostly Bob, and then Josh also did some of it too. Well, that's true. So they both are putting together a rush job of archery target stands for my day camp, and then once they finally get done, haul it all out to my camp. And I had no idea what I was going to do when I realized that my targets were essentially non-existent. And they're like, no, we got this. So
the rush job, the things we put together were better than the stands that were already there.
That's true.
Yeah.
Ours were solid stands. They were solid.
They were. My poor boys that carried them in and out of the buildings were not very appreciative. But I was because my targets did not fall down. And they're still being used because they were solid.
They were solid.
So, I thank you for that.
You are welcome.
Josh.
Again, lots of memories. Which one to choose? I think the most unique one is going to be Trappers. Every year Trappers would come around. Trappers is a big scouting camp out where hundreds, if not close to 1,000 troops at some years, would come together, and all the scouts would just go out onto the main trail and trade whatever. Trade knives, trade DVDs, trade whatever you can find.
Whatever they
can. Trade it.
In Kansas in January.
And it always fell on the weekend of my birthday. So we'd go out, and that weekend, it would be the weekend before, the weekend after we do something for my birthday. But this year... My birthday was on Saturday. So we're out there, and I'm just like, whatever, we'll do something next weekend, like we always do. Now, he decides he's going to make me brownies, because I love brownies. And he's going to do it in a Dutch oven.
That sounds too bad.
Except that he decides, I'm going to put it in tin foil, put it in the Dutch oven, and hopefully it comes out well.
Never tried it before.
There was one good brownie. The rest of them were very creepy brownies, but there was one good brownie.
I found a unique way to make bricks.
It was still pretty good, but it was bricks. Other than that, there was also all of us running in kilts.
Oh, the Highlands!
Running down the John Calder Trail.
Yes.
Wearing nothing but our boots and kilts, getting yelled at by everybody on the trail. Go put a shirt on.
Oh.
Because it's January in Kansas.
Yes, exactly.
And it's snowing. So
it was very amusing.
Snow
to watch.
On the ground. But yeah.
Micah.
Okay. Really, when I think of you, Papa, I think of a humorous person, very fun to play with, mostly with board games or creative ideas to play outside. So far, the best memory I can think of is the time we made a snowman out in the backyard.
It was one of the best snowmen, too.
Yeah. I came and visited. I was hoping for snow because I've never seen falling snow until then. And so the moment it started snowing, I went crazy about the snow. And finally, when I was able to go out, me and Papa started building a snowman. I didn't realize how easy it was, but...
It's never that easy. It was amazing.
It was good snow.
It was good snow.
And it was pretty fun to build, and yeah. I tried to make a top hat.
So the fun thing about this snowman and the snow, right? I mean, we're out there, and I'm like, taking some pictures because it's, you know, it's that big fluffy snow. And I'm thinking it's going to be too dry. All right? It's not going to be packable. And if you've ever tried to roll snow in the snow, you know it's not always easy. He made it look like Charlie Brown. You know, where they just take a snowball and just go, wah, and it's a snowman. And that's exactly what he did. And I'm sitting there going... It's never that nice for me. It wasn't good. And he lasted, what, 5 days?
Four more days.
5 days out there in the sun.
There was nothing left on the ground.
Yeah.
And then how cold it was because we started a snowball war.
Well, the snow is that packable, you have to have a snowball war.
Absolutely.
True statement.
So who's next?
E-Man.
Well, the first thing I think about when I think of Papa is how he had strict rules, and I was never a big fan of that. I was not a big fan until he was like, go put your shoes on. What? Play outside, go put your shoes on.
Wild man.
Barefoot. I don't care, go put your shoes on.
I mean, I was all for letting you go play in the sticker patch like that, but you know, whatever.
And that's pretty much it.
Elliot, do you have a good Papa story? Or what you like about your Papa? Just look at Papa and tell him something you like.
Playing with a bell.
Use your big voice.
Playing with a bell. Building that thing.
What thing, baby?
Oh, we've built a lot of things.
I know, you and Ellie built a lot of things.
Is that your favorite thing to do with Papa?
Building things.
Building? Cool. We have a fun video of Elliot when she was one playing catch with Papa. And
such a
he
funny
would
video.
Throw the pillow at her and she would catch it.
You were good, let me tell you.
She liked eating the M&Ms out of his trail mix, too.
I still like doing that. I have a Mommy and Me journal where it asks questions and you each answer it, and her and I've been doing that every now and then. And one of them was, what is your earliest memory? And she said her earliest memory was Papa bouncing her on the bed. And that was so funny.
I've got videos of that too. Hilarious. You're cool, baby.
Leilani? You got a memory of Papa or an idea of Papa?
And Willow went to sleep.
And Willow's out of the game.
She's doing her part of the memory.
Careful, baby. Careful.
Watch your cords. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. I have no idea how long this was, so I'm going to probably break it up into a couple of episodes.
Just this episode.
Yeah, probably. So thank you very much.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Until next time, enjoy your coffee.